It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Sabres game day.
We've been having some fun here in the break, though. We've been having some more fun in the break.
I discovered something on Twitter,
and I wanted to keep this going because, honestly, I wasn't done with the discussion.
Mm-hmm. You got it, right? I sent this.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So it's not necessarily a superhero sports lineup.
It's like mythical.
It's like just people. Like comic book, movie,
TV show
characters.
A lot of people from Dragon Ball Z, a lot of people from comic books.
Yep.
Anakin makes an appearance.
I was going to say, Droidica. For no reason, Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, so let's go through the offense here real quick. At wide receiver, you have Spider-Man and Anakin. Spider-Man, absolutely correct.
Yes.
He's your wide receiver one all day long. Offensive line, you got Venom, The Thing, Baymax from Big Hero 6 at
good
center.
Good movie, by the way.
Good movie. Colossus at offensive guard, and the Hulk at offensive tackle.
That feels right. I don't like the Hulk here as an offensive lineman. He gives me the unhinged nature of a tackle, don't get me wrong. I like him better, though, as an edge rusher.
Ooh.
He's giving off, like, Lawrence Taylor vibes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's what I would want.
But you also want him on your offensive line.
That's right. He is giving off unhinged offensive lineman vibes. I'm not screaming, but I think I'd prefer him at
on defense.
On the defense, yeah.
Quarterback, Superman.
Whatever.
What do you call Josh Allen when he does stuff? Oh, look, he's going to be
Superman. Not even that. Like, it's the perfect thing. Like, he's the Boy Scout. He's never going to give a single wrong thing to the media, so he's boring. He's good looking. He's 6'4".
This one,
240 pounds.
This one, I think, is interesting because I didn't think about the media angle, but the Flash at fullback. A random unhinged fullback that just says the most random things.
Trash-talking.
Trash-talking people.
Run the wishbone. Sonic and Flash.
And Sonic is the running back.
Yeah. We don't need wide receiver two. Anakin, you're out. We're running the wishbone here.
I don't see Anakin at wide receiver two.
And Superman running the ball. I'm good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also, where does Captain America? Because Captain America is not on this. The defense, highlights of the defense, Thanos at D tackle.
Correct. Thanos and Doomsday at defensive tackle.
Oh, that's okay. I couldn't tell who that was.
Two all pro defensive tackles right there.
A Droidica at defensive end.
See what I mean? Like, our defense could be so much better.
Yeah. That should be Hulk.
We're putting in a droid at edge rusher.
You also have the Silver Surfer at safety, which he's just going to...
That's fantastic.
He's going to get everything.
And then Batman at middle linebacker because Because prep time, he'll be perfect. He's going to watch a lot of film and know exactly what the opposing team's quarterback is.
Some of these pictures, like, I can't tell who it is. I had no idea that was Batman.
Yeah, Batman at middle linebacker.
Interesting. See, I was thinking of Captain America as a linebacker.
Nah, see, Captain America's a lot like Superman because, I mean, they're essentially the same character.
Yeah.
A quarterback. I mean, just they're going to say everything you want to hear, right?
I can't.
They're a modern quarterback, too. They're a little more athletic. They can move around. They've got the bazooka arms. Captain America's whole thing is throwing the shield. Just put it to a football. He's got it.
But I don't know.
He's got a little of elusiveness as well to him.
I can't see him being an offensive player. I see him as a defensive player.
I mean, I'm putting him at safety. The old school, like, hard-hitting safety.
That's fair. Imagine him as a gunner.
Could also see that. That's more Steve Rogers, though, where it's like, I'm willing to do the dirty work.
Yeah. That's not Captain America. That's Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I just popped up on my timeline.
Captain America movies, though, were a lot of fun. I like those ones. Yeah. Those ones are good.
Ooh. Oh, I just had a name in my head and popped away.
That's not great. Got to find it. Got to get it back.
We're going to. Hang on. Give me a sec. Ah, Iron Man.
Iron Man. He's head coach.
Oh, no.
Owner. Team owner. Team owner.
Yeah. The ego.
It's him or Batman slash Bruce Wayne as the team owner.
It's Iron Man.
I did really want to just quickly transition over to football here because we got the news a little bit ago that Todd Downing is taking over as the play caller for the Jets offense. He was serving this year. Ooh. At yes,
Sabres breaking news.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah.
J.J. Paterka will not play tonight.
Okay,
per Lindy Ruff, Zach Benson is a game time decision.
Okay, all right. So no J.J. Paterka, Zach Benson maybe. All right. So now I'm wondering if there was a little bit of a issue following practice yesterday because both seemed pretty confident they would play.
Mm-hmm.
And having talked with Paul, that was sort of the feeling too of like unless there's like a setback following practice. So we'll see on that. Benson, though, gives me a little bit more that it's – I think both would probably play by Saturday, I would assume, which is good on that. But we'll see. Again, Benson, game-time decision. Paterka out. That's per head coach Lindy Ruff. On the Jets, though, real quick, we are also going to hear from our own Sal Capaccio coming up in just about 20 minutes. Todd Downing, though, he becomes the new play caller on the Jets offense, was passing game coordinator last year, was the offensive coordinator for Tennessee for two seasons, 21 and 22, and then this year is the QB coach, passing game coordinator, and now offensive play caller. This, to me, felt like a move that, I mean, Josh, we saw reports, we both did, we've been talking about this,
mm-hmm.
that ultimately this is what Robert Saleh was, I think, planning on doing per all the reports, which is Nathaniel Hackett was going to be, in a sense, demoted. I will never understand having an offensive coordinator and then not having them call plays.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm partially the same way of defensive coordinators, too. I think they should be calling plays.
But what if it's your head coach making the play call instead of, like, this is weird because it's someone below the offensive coordinator is making the play calls. But if you had an offensive head coach making the play calls, like Andy Reid, right.
Well, like, but my thing is always going to be I don't like it because you get what you had in Kansas City, mm-hmm. which is does the OC actually ever do anything?
And then you have this issue
is Bieniemy actually doing anything?
Right. Right.
And I don't like that really for anybody. When Bobby Babich is calling plays for the Bills defense, we know that he is going to get the credit and the ridicule, regardless. Same now with Joe Brady, he's getting the credit or the ridicule, regardless. When you look at here, Cleveland is a perfect example. Ken Dorsey is there as their OC. He is not calling plays. Kevin Stefanski is. So why is he there? It's just it's confusing to me. I want to look up the Rams though real quick. I don't think they have an offensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't. I don't. No, they do. It's Mike LaFleur. Okay, so they kind of do. All right. I was wondering if
is he related to Matt LaFleur?
I believe so.
Brothers. Perhaps?
Yep, younger brother.
Hmm, interesting. I didn't know that.
But that was bad. I mean, I assumed that L.A. was one of them where Sean McVay just kind of ran anything. I guess not. Mm-hmm. I just don't love it, especially because, when you think of the Rams offense, you think of Sean McVay. When you think of the Chiefs offense, you think of Andy Reid. You don't think of these offensive coordinators that are there. I don't love that. I especially like it even less when ultimately a guy gets demoted. This feels like they're not firing Nathaniel Hackett. Because it'll upset Rodgers.
That's
what that feels like.
And that leads me more and more to believe that this whole thing with Saleh was partially or mostly due to Rodgers not wanting him there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying like this specific move is what got Saleh fired, but I kind of wonder about it. You got to wonder, was Saleh looking to take more drastic steps with Nathaniel Hackett than just demote him from play calling? And... Mm-hmm. That would lead more into the narrative of, Aaron Rodgers got him fired.
Their whole situation is wild to me. And I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it, I want to say yesterday, about like if they lose, is this like team in like panic mode for Monday night?
Mm.
And I'm talking about the Bills. If they lose on Monday night, are they in panic mode? I kind of am.
Yeah.
I think everything going on with the Jets is...
If you lose to a dysfunctional team like that, it's bad.
I think Jordan Schultz yesterday was on with Colin Cowherd, and he even said it too. He's like, this is not how you do in terms of firing Robert Saleh when they did and how they did. It's like, this is not how you do business in the NFL. This is just how the Jets do business. you know, him not being able to speak to the team afterwards. Ultimately, he spoke on Monday with the media like business was usual and then was fired on Sunday. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. We're going to get more of a word on that with Sal coming up in the next segment. But nothing is going right for them. They cannot score. It's why they made the move. It's why Todd Downing is calling plays now. But to me, it is one of those it's a must win in the sense of if you don't win, I do think there are massive problems in the roster, whether that be to do injury or just who you have now. We saw yesterday, Josh, too, the unofficial injury report. Curtis Samuel goes back to not practicing because he's dealing with a foot and an ankle injury. I was wondering, just because of how few snaps he was taking in the first two games, if he was really over the turf toe. And then with how they were using him, you could really argue there was something wrong. Now he's picked up that injury, or at least has kept it this entire time. But even still, with just how bad everything is with the Jets, you'd like to think they're going to get a win here. And ultimately, Allen hasn't really had that many good games against this Jets defense. That is a big fear of mine. I've gotten to a point now where Monday night, it is sort of nerve-wracking for me, because there is still some goodwill of the first three games. There is still somewhat of this feeling of, you did all that. Guys were getting separation. You were eating against man coverage. You were doing well. What happened? Is it just Shakir being injured? You picked up a lot of injuries on defense. Is that what's going on?
But if
you lose three straight, all of a sudden all that goodwill from the first three games is like, no, this is now a pattern. You're losing games you really shouldn't. You're getting blown out in a number of these games. Because even the Houston game, too, I wonder what that score looks like if Nico Collins stays in that game. I mean, Allen goes 9 for 30. They got nothing out of the passing game. They got a broken play out of Keon Coleman to score. I would be somebody that is very much panicking in terms of playoffs, but even also the division if you lose to a Jets team that is seemingly reeling. They're only 2-3, and it's seemingly like they're hitting the panic button.
Right. Especially with firing their head coach. I mean, that's the most panicked you can be, right?
Well, I mean, Woody Johnson was pretty comfortable in saying, like, this is the first time in my, 25 years of being owner that I'm doing this, that I'm firing a coach in season.
Yeah.
That it ultimately doesn't happen all that much. The ones I can remember, like Brandon Staley late in the year last year for the Chargers, O'Brien for the Houston Texans a number of years ago. It really doesn't happen all that much in season. You usually let it ride because this doesn't ultimately mean that stuff. Gruden a few years ago for the Raiders, but that was kind of circumstances not necessarily withstanding to coaching. It was more outside. And they did it and it was kind of because their offense is bad. And their defense has been very good. Their defense is keeping them in games. Now Todd Downing goes in as their play caller. They're going to be, I think, in a mood on Monday night. I think there is going to be feelings that the problem has left the building. For fans, that the problem has left the building. Now we can go forward. Outside looking in, no. I think the problem really has been that they just do whatever Rodgers says.
Mm-hmm.
But we said even yesterday with Sal, too, I think we're all kind of getting maybe a wrong read on the Jets because yesterday when Woody Johnson is speaking with the media, he's saying, I think this is the best roster in my 25 years of being an owner. So, the thought of, Joe Douglas maybe being fired at the end of this year kind of feels like it's not going to happen.
Right, because it seems like he has all the faith in everything else around.
Except the head coach.
Right. But the question is, and Sala wasn't perfect, but what are they looking for in a head coach? Because he was part of the reason, I guess we'll find out now, but he was probably part of the reason why their defense was so good. And I get it, their offense has been terrible, and they haven't really done what they needed to do on offense, obviously, but are they looking offensive? Are they looking defensive? I don't think the firing fixes any problems. That's the other part where it's extra panic of, yeah, you fired your head coach. That's crazy. But what does it fix? What does it solve?
Yeah, I don't
unless
really...
there's so much inner turmoil between, Rodgers and Saleh that there's problems on and off the field. I don't know. That'd be pretty hard to believe. Well, actually, no. Rodgers is pretty crazy. Maybe it wouldn't be so hard to believe.
I guess that's the thing, too, is it's like we're going to find out within like the next, like I would say, month or so. Like if there were really that big of issues going on in the building, like they had to get rid of Salah. I just don't know. But, I mean, to be fair, there was already reports this offseason of turmoil in the locker room. There was feelings that Hackett, you know, wanted to fire him, but or that Salah wanted to fire Hackett but couldn't and stuff like that. So, yeah, there is sort of this feeling that there was turmoil there. But firing Salah and keeping Hackett there, I don't know how much Todd Downing is going to change the offense. Those were the issues. That's where their problems were, not on the defense. The defense has been, for the most part, really good and is keeping them in games.
It's part of the reason why the Bills have lost to the Jets a few times over the past few years. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm quite a bit nervous about Monday night is – everything you've seen with the offense the past 2 weeks, and now you're seeing this defense come in.
Yeah,
always giving you problems. But again, I'm honestly really interested to see how much of a role that Salah played. Because if it was a larger role, this could be a very, not very different offense, but we could see something different this time.
Potentially, yeah.
And that's another point where it's, you know, a bit of a head scratcher of why fire him now. Unless there's something seriously wrong. And I don't know if we'll ever find that out. I would love if Salah did a tell-all, but that I don't think that would
happen.
That's
what I was saying, man.
I don't think he's I also don't know if he's allowed to do that.
But, you know, Sal put out this tweet yesterday from practice. And I do want to say this too for him, too. He did tweet out, important to note with today's injury report that today is not a normal Wednesday. This is obviously being yesterday with the game on Monday night. There's an extra day this week. Could factor into participation decisions, but ultimately, the no practices, Khalil Shakir, Ed Oliver, James Cook, Curtis Samuel, an offense that is struggling. James Cook seemingly the only piece that has been consistently solid the whole way through because of Shakir's injuries. And now if he's not, I don't know. Just for me, there is the sense of like the season is slipping away from him. I don't want the Bills to make a panic move, but if they do drop three straight games, that is where panic moves come in. And I think that's where you make bad decisions is when you're panicking, when you're reeling, everything, you know, nothing is seemingly going right. I think especially for the Bills, too, there will be this feeling of what the hell happened? We were 3-0, we were cooking, everything was fine, and now all of a sudden we've lost three in a row. And it, you know, I think maybe my biggest fear is the feeling that all of a sudden a panic move would become involved. That's where you all see them really get involved in the Devontae Adams trade piece. And I was getting into it with some people on Twitter yesterday of like the idea of trading them a second round pick to get a half a year out of Adams, a guy who's already dealing with a hamstring injury. If you believe it or not, that's what they're saying.
Well, yeah, they can't really lie about that.
Yeah.
And if they do, then that's another problem.
And so he's got a hamstring injury. I'm getting half a year out of him. I'm not going to pay him again. Mm-hmm. Some worries there. And yes, the schedule kind of opens up. You get Tennessee. But with, you know, we were just talking about it. You know, the Sabres have 82 games. One or two games doesn't really define a season. In football, it kind of can. You know, being 4-2 compared to 3-3 is far different. Being 5-2 if you play the Tennessee Titans compared to 4-3 also is very different. Mm-hmm. And especially in a year, man, the AFC is not good.
No,
it's the whole AFC. It's not great.
It's not just the AFC East. It's the majority of the AFC. You have the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Texans. Kind of the Bills, if you still feel like it,
yep.
And that's it. There's four teams there.
And all of them have like pretty glaring issues or injury issues.
Or maybe not glaring yet. I mean, the Chiefs...
They
do have injury problems, but they're still winning games.
Yeah,
And that's the thing. Like the Chiefs one, it might not be as glaring, mm-hmm. but I still think there's issues there. They're just underneath the fact that they're 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at how this Bills team is going into this game, and I think there is some reason to be worried.
Yeah.
Especially with the last 2 weeks. I don't know.
That'd be the one thing. If they lost to Houston, but it was like a really good game, and it was back and forth, good offensive game, and ultimately just, you know, the defensive injuries got you.
Yeah.
Or they had the ball last, what have you. It'd be one thing. It is, again, like the 9-for-30. Allen himself not playing well. No separation for wide receivers. That was the thing yesterday we were talking a lot about. I was under the impression, looking at that, you know, separation win chart, mm-hmm. that Coleman was doing much better and that, you know, maybe we weren't seeing stuff or what have you. Turns out, that stat is based off of passes he's thrown and how much separation he's got. And he was doing well on that.
Passes he's targeted to.
And so Worthy's not doing well on that. And I'm like, oh man, so is that Mahomes just missing him with Coleman? It's like, okay, yeah, when he's thrown the ball, okay, or he is open. It makes sense. And then Sal came on yesterday and was like, no, he's one of the worst, if not the worst, on the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they've lost Khalil Shakir. Samuel they're not using, whether it be to injury or they have no plan.
And to be fair, with Samuel, if it's not an injury issue, they could very easily just start targeting him more. It's his problem is not, unless it is an injury thing, his problem is very fixable like that. All you got to do is just start targeting him.
Seem to have way more of a plan.
Have more of a game plan for him. Have him go down the field a little bit more than 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And don't run screenplays with him anymore. Try something different. Put him in the slot role. Put him out wide. Do something. But the problem is with what we're seeing with Samuel is we're not seeing anything. Whether it be injury or not, we're just not seeing anything. And if it's injury, then you can't do much about it. But if it's game planning, then just change up the game plan. Right?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. I think you're right. You got to change the game plan. You got to change it up. But up to this point, yeah. Samuel's been a non-factor in their offense, and they're paying him $8 million a year.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have to sit here and try to figure out, what's going on? Why is it not working? Because what's working is not working. Just okay, cool. Try something different. Your season is kind of on the line.
Yep. And I don't want to act like, because I'm not. To this point, it is a year in transition. I think they are trying to find out that young core that is going to go forward with.
They want to
group.
Identify what they have,
and I'm cool with that, and I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I also don't want to see a wasted season. I don't want to see a Drew Brees Saints type season in the middle of his career where, yep, you missed the playoffs. You should never miss the playoffs with Josh Allen at quarterback. He is the second to third best quarterback in the NFL on any given day. And in part, why I would panic is that you need to see signs that the year in transition, hey, there's some positives. It's not all great. There's some growing pains. Cole Bishop on Sunday, not great. But you need to see signs of that player's going to be good. That player's going
to
be good.
That's your welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah.
Like, hey, good luck, pal. You're a rookie. Get used to it.
But for me, if they've paid $8 million to Curtis Samuel and don't have a plan, they draft Dalton Kincaid in the first round and still don't have a plan to get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's like, this is a year in transition with far more issues down the line that we're getting ready to see, but it won't become apparent until next year or what have you, when all of a sudden, yeah, Kincaid's a first round tight end that we're still waiting to emerge.
Right. Well, and this is the perfect year too. Like with Samuel being on a multi-year contract and with Kincaid obviously being who he is in his sophomore season, this is the perfect year to just kind of figure out who they are and how they play and how you can utilize them to the best of their ability and just kind of stash it. If you can't get things to string together and make things work, obviously, make the playoffs. But if it's not going to be a year where you're going to go to the Super Bowl or whatever, just figure out how those two work and then make note of that and go into your offense next year with already a plan. Because this year just felt like there's not much of a plan so far.
And that's concerning.
Or the plan is not working.
And that is, I think either one of those is very concerning.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more of an idea with the Bills so they get ready for their Monday night matchup. And Sal Capaccio joins the show next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins, all on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On WGR.
Regarding the staff, after a lot of time to think about it, did not make this decision easily by any means. I'm going to make Todd Downing the play caller for the New York Jets going forward. And this is more a byproduct of a different take on things. I'm not saying it's a better or worse take on things by any means, but just a different take on things, a fresh approach. So ultimately, Todd will have the full say on the game plan and ultimately the plays that are called within the game.
Jets interim head coach Jeff Albrich, they're confirming that they will be making not a change offensive coordinator, but a change at play calling as they promote Todd Downing, the passing game coordinator and quarterback coach, to the play caller. So the Bills not only going to have to play a new head coach, but also potentially getting a new look offense as well. And with that, we bring in our own Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. The Bills did have practice yesterday. No official injury report, but Sal, man, the unofficial injury report is slightly concerning.
Yeah, well, it is official from the coach, but you're right. We're going to get the official, like, one that comes out from the team today. I'll be down there in a little while, guys. We'll have practice in 1 hour. But even before that happens, people can follow me along at Sal Sports, and I'll give an update on who I saw practicing, who I didn't see practicing. But we do know yesterday that James Cook did not practice, Curtis Samuel did not practice, both dealing with foot/toe injuries, as Sean McDermott put it. Ed Oliver still not out there with a hamstring. Khalil Shakir not out there, although working off to the side with his ankle injury. So that's the bad news. The good news is Taylor Rapp cleared concussion protocol. Taron Johnson was doing even more. He was actually hitting the bag with his arm, like locking it out, pushing it. So that was good news. And Austin Johnson returned to practice on a limited basis as well. So at least getting some guys healthy, but also some concern on other guys, obviously.
Sal, I want to start with James Cook just because I know, you know, Twitter doctors and everything like that, but I've seen the video going around where Cook is falling when the sideline catch where he almost keeps it in, but he ends up being out, and he slams his toe into the turf. Now, I don't know, you know, obviously it's, again, Twitter doctors and everything, but looking at that video, that looks painful. Like, it doesn't look like it's very good. I don't know if you read too much into that stuff, but I just thought that was kind of interesting seeing that angle.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, hey, it's a tough game, and a lot of times guys get hurt because they get hit by somebody, and you know, you get rolled up on some by something, or you know, you twist an ankle, twist a knee, and then coming down hard after making a catch, which by the way was very debatable if he actually was in bounds. And a lot of people asked me why the Bills didn't challenge it. There wasn't a great angle to show in bounds, but you can make an argument. I still don't think it would have been overturned, but man, what a heck of a catch by James Cook. But on that play, it appeared though he came down, banged his left foot front of the foot, the toe area, maybe like straight on against the turf. If that is where exactly the injury came from, I'm guessing that is where it is. We don't know. But sure, these things happen. It's a physical game. It's a rough game. It's a high speed game. And we'll see where James Cook goes from here. I mean, the good news encouraging on him was him and Curtis Samuel both worked on the stationary bike yesterday, guys. And then I did see him walk over to like the running back area for the offense while they were getting ready for some individual work. So a lot of times, that's an indication that they at least wanted to be up to speed on the game plan, right? While he's out there, instead of just being away from, you know, inside and working in and getting treatment. It doesn't mean he's practicing today necessarily. We'll find out. It doesn't mean he's playing on Monday. We'll find out. But that's encouraging. The other encouraging thing is, at least I'll say, it's not a normal Wednesday yesterday. Today's like a normal Wednesday because they're playing Monday night. You have that whole extra day. Yesterday's kind of like a Tuesday for a normal week. So even though they did practice, if there's somebody dealing with anything, you almost want to give them that one extra day.
And so, Sal, last thing on the injuries for me, Curtis Samuel, he was somebody obviously dealing with turf toe during training camp. It seemingly, I mean, in a sense, went away because he was no longer on the injury report, but then pops up yesterday. And I know there's been a lot of talk about his, first of all, usage early on in the season as well. And then now, as the season's kind of developed, the seeming lack of a plan, I guess, for lack of a better term, for him. Was this sort of surprising to see him pop up with a foot and toe designation, the same as James Cook?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, I don't know about surprising, but I guess so, yeah, of course, right? Because he hadn't been on the report and he had finished the game, he had played in the game. I mean, heck, you know, James Cook was surprising because he had finished the game, then we never got anything about him leaving the game there. I think for me, it's more of a, okay, so he's on it now. Like, is this something that's been lingering that they're now starting to treat again? Mm-hmm. And that's why he hasn't been a part of the offense as much? I mean, it's the only explanation, right? I don't get it. I mean... We all play fantasy football, not to turn this into a fantasy thing, but if you play fantasy football, you know Curtis Samuel's been a pretty good player in the NFL, right, over the last few years. Like, he's not been a superstar, but he's been a good player. And he's a guy that, like, oh, yeah, he gets some run, he gets some numbers. And then you look back at what he did with Joe Brady as his offensive coordinator in 2020, and that was, like, his best year as a pro. And the Bills signed him to an $8 million deal. There's no way that their plan for him was to have one catch a week, two catches a week, negative yards. Like, what's going on? So you immediately go to, okay, he had this toe injury towards the end of training camp / preseason, and then he just kind of never was able to fit in the offense or get numbers or targets. And is that the reason why? But wait a minute, he's not in the injury report, so it can't be. Well, now he is on the injury report. Well, he will be today, I'm guessing, but we do know that he sat out because of this. So is that the same thing that he's been dealing with and he has been dealing with, has it, or is it something new?
Yeah, and that was something that definitely caught my eye with the injury report of, like, oh, okay, like maybe that is now something to keep an eye on. For the Jets, though, Sal, we did hear there Jeff Ulbrich announcing that Todd Downing is going to take over offensive play calling. I mean, this is going to be, you know, at least on paper, a very different-looking Jets team from just a week ago. New head coach with the interim and then now new offensive play caller. To me, though, this does seem like a team that is sort of just making any desperation move possible. I feel like, probably wrong, but I feel like a Davante Adams trade is going to happen like this weekend just because it does seem just so desperate by them.
Well, if it happens this weekend, I still don't think he'd play against the Bills. That would be pretty wild, mm-hmm. right, to show up and play. I guess it could happen, you know, 2 days later. I mean, didn't the Minnesota Vikings start a quarterback on like 3 days after getting
him? I think that was Josh Dobbs.
Right? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Anything could happen
the
there.
Science the astronaut.
Yeah, right. Hey, listen, they are desperate. I mean, that's what they are. And I think that this, put yourself in the position of the Jets or a Jets fan or doing, you know, radio on WFAN in New York. This is an all-in year for them. They have to be desperate, guys, on anything they do. There's no, well, let's be patient and see how this works out. They have the longest playoff drought in sports right now, along with our Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they are trying everything. They signed a 40-year-old quarterback, 39 at the time. He's 40 years old. He's still there, coming off the Achilles. They've gone all in. They've traded draft picks. They have this Hassan Reddick situation they're dealing with right now. They're doing whatever they can desperately to break this drought. And I don't blame them, actually. I think that's exactly what they have to do if they're the New York Jets. Now, the downside is if you miss on this big swing, it's setting your organization back even further. And maybe that playoff drought lasts even another several years, which is possible. But everything they're doing now has to be, the Jets can't middle it anymore, right? So when you say, like, I expect maybe a trade, hey, I wouldn't be surprised. They can't middle it. Mm. Like, if they can make a deal for Davante Adams, they have to do it. If they can make a deal for Amari Cooper, they have to do it. There's no, well, let's see what we do. It's either they're all in or they're not. The problem with being all in sometimes is when you lose, you bust out.
Yeah, it kind of gives off that feeling of, like, any hand that is, like, arguably good, it's, like, all in. I have to kind of deal, and that's sort of where they're at. Sal, last thing here before we let you get ready for practice. I asked Paul this morning. I got to ask you, of course. I know you were down at Fatty last night as well for an event. The Yankees get a good win over the Royals. Stanton with a beautiful home run in the eighth to get that win. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I prefer to call it majestic is how I look at the home run. Listen, I have made no bones about it over the years that I just think that Giancarlo Stanton never gets a big hit in a big spot. And he always just has his home runs come when they're up like 9-2 or down 9-2. Well, guess what? I'm not going to think that anymore. I'm not going to say that. He has been really good, actually, in the playoffs. He's actually hit a lot of home runs in the playoffs for them, although it's not translated into a world championship. I get it. Last night was the biggest of the biggest hits he's had. Like, that's got to be his biggest hit in a Yankees uniform up to this point. And it's picking up the slack for Aaron Judge because he's done nothing. And we all know he's great. At some point, he's going to do something, and hopefully that's tonight. I'm feeling great. Obviously, I didn't want to go to tonight with possibly being, you know, the last game for the Yankees and being on the brink like the Phillies last night with the Mets. Like, that's just a tough situation. Today with the Guardians. And the Guardians lose tonight. Their season's over. And it's crazy after thinking about the season they had. So, look, Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight. You got to get him. If you don't get him tonight, I do not like going back home to Yankee Stadium for an all or nothing game five.
You know, Sal, maybe you got through to Stanton finally because he also stole a base.
And he did steal a base.
When's the last time he stole a base?
You know what?
Has he ever done it?
Had to have been in Miami.
Yeah. Well, he might have done it in New York, but I mean, he just can't run anymore. But they were giving it to him, and he was smart. I mean, I give him credit. Hey, I'll eat it. He at least it has been pretty true though. Most of his Yankees career, he just has to not get hits in big situations. Did you guys see the stat though on him in the postseason? It's pretty wild. He actually has in major league history, he has like the second best at bat to home run ratio in postseason play, next to and only under Babe Ruth.
Wow.
Oh wow, I did not see that.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Good for him. That's awesome. I mean, like, because like, Sal, you were even bringing it up too. Like, you kind of had this feeling about him that just never really got a big hit in a big game, and then here he is. He's like, actually, I kind of do. And then last night as well. I mean, just lifts him over the Royals. That ballpark was popping last night. And that was a huge win. They're getting going at 8 o'clock tonight. Guardians and Tigers just after 6.
Now Sal, I got it. Now I got it. Here's what I got to do though. I'm gonna be so, super honest. We're going to the Sabres game tonight, right? I got my family going. Taking my son to the Sabres game tonight. That starts at 7. Yankees start at what time? 8 tonight?
Yep.
Did you say?
Yep.
Okay, so that's not bad, but I just have to be honest. I'm going to be watching the Yankees game on my phone during some of the Sabres games. So hopefully the Sabres keep it entertaining enough where I'm not super dialed in. I'm watching more of the hockey game, but I'll definitely have it close by on the phone to so I can check it out.
Love to hear it. Sal, enjoy the game tonight and enjoy practice. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. But I've never had to do that, but like I am the kind of person that will like watch a game when I'm at something else. Funny story, which my family still loves to make fun of me about. I did watch a Thursday night football game at a Disney wedding. It was my cousin's wedding. It was me.
That's very.
It was me and her brother watching a Carolina Panthers. Darnold was starting at the time. We were watching. I can't remember who the Panthers were playing, but we were watching Thursday night football. He was sitting next to me, and we just had my phone there. And the game was just going off, and like as like people were doing speeches, like there is video evidence of like we're just like looking down at the game while also trying to be respectful.
A Panthers football game, really?
It was early enough in the season that every game was fun.
Who was the quarterback?
It was Darnold. I know it was. Oh.
See, if it was Cam Newton, I'd give you a pass.
Oh, is it Baker?
Ooh. If it's Baker, I also give you a pass.
It was one of the. It was one of those two where I was like, I was excited to see them.
Yeah.
Still early on.
Wait,
there.
So this was recent then?
Oh, it was very recent. Yeah.
Okay, so that probably was Darnold because that was the remember the start to the season Darnold had a couple years ago where he just came in and torched the league for 3 weeks and then disappeared, which I hope doesn't happen again for my fantasy football team's sake. Also, real quick, Stanton, that was his first stolen base in 4 years.
Okay, so not Miami, but really close.
He has 42 stolen bases all time. That was his second stolen base in the postseason ever. The first one coming in 2018.
Oh, man.
First year with the Yankees.
That's so good. 803-0550, the number to call. Got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Stanton goes, how do you like that? And he steals the base. How do you like that? Is that something? The last guy you'd think would steal the base.
Well,
Kansas City wasn't playing him.
How do you like that?
How tall is Stanton?
6'6"?
Imagine that. Yeah, 6'6", 245. Imagine him running at you as the shortstop.
And he's though, too, as like the Royals shortstop or even second baseman, whoever sees him first, you're thinking, he's not going to go. Like, I've seen the scouting report. He's not going to go. Then you see him running at you, you're like,
in the replay,
that's gotta be wrong.
The first baseman's not even holding him on the base.
No.
I mean, Costas' call is great. He's like, you might as well just sleepwalk there.
Yeah. I mean, he had for him, it's huge because he's massive. But, like, he had a huge lead. Like, for a normal
person. I think Paul said it. He was 40% of the way there.
Yeah. No, he was behind. He was past the first baseman. He was behind the first baseman because the first baseman wasn't holding him on the bag.
I just got to imagine.
They could have had him out three times before he would have touched the bag.
The second baseman or the shortstop, whoever sees him first, is just going like, he's not. Throw me the ball, he's going.
Right.
If you look at the replay, that little curve that separates the grass and the dirt on the infield, that's basically where he is on the edge of that curve.
Yeah. And that's probably a Stanton and a half away from the bag.
A Stanton and a half.
So like 9 feet off the bag? I mean, that's...
Yeah. There was never an absurd lead. There was never a fear he was going until he decided to go.
Yeah.
Love that. I've been saying a lot these last 2 weeks. I have loved the playoff baseball. I'm excited for tonight's games as well. Josh, you brought up a lot. Detroit has been a blast. That fun, young team.
I want a Detroit Mets Super Bowl. Or Sewell, wow.
Super Bowl.
Man, man, I'm sorry.
You want Detroit Mets World Series?
Yes.
I'm kind of getting there with the Subway Series. I really do want both New York teams in. I'm kind of getting there.
I would like to see the Guardians in there. Hold the longest championship drought.
Nah, they had their shot. They lost to the Cubs. They had their shot.
I'm having an existential crisis right now because I just called the World Series the Super Bowl.
That's fine. You should have ran with it. You should have ran with it.
I sounded like sports ball guy. Yeah, do the touchdown. Score the thing.
Should have ran with it. Real quick, though, before we get out of here, Seahawk Watch is going to have you guys on Friday. So I do want to mention college football this weekend is a great weekend.
Red River rivalry.
Well, Red River's one of them, 1 versus 18.
How are you feeling?
Awful. Awful, Josh. Stop. Awful.
Why can't you be optimistic about anything?
It's not optimistic. It's just I've been here and done this. But they had a great season last year. Oklahoma wasn't even that good. They still lost.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do not like rivalry games. I just get me through them. Then we also have 9 versus 13, Mississippi versus LSU. 2 versus 3, Ohio State versus Oregon.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Penn State, USC, there's a few really, really good games. South Carolina and Alabama as well. Few really good games this Saturday, starting right away at noon. Going to be a great day. And then nice for a lot of us college football and Sabres fans, Sabres game doesn't even start till 7, so you get to watch a lot of these games. Sabres game, come home to a lot of these good college football games as well. Of course, playoff baseball tonight. Sadly, because some of these series have ended, we don't have the 3 o'clock first pitch. Tonight, though, Guardians Tigers starts at 6, Yankees Royals at 8 o'clock, and then, of course, Sabres tonight at home opener this year against the Kings, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGRP.
And don't forget, that is the Steve Foley Law pregame show.
That's right, thank you. Steve Foley Law pregame show. If you did miss the news, Zach Benson is a game time decision while J.J. Paterka is not going to play tonight, and then UPL is expected to get the start in net. Josh, how are we feeling?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. Not as good now that Paterka's out, but I still think there's going to be some sort of good vibes there because of the fact that it's the first game back in the arena with Lindy behind the bench.
Got to start off good.
Forget about Prague. Prague doesn't exist. Europe doesn't exist.
Correct.
It's okay. Nothing happened over there. We don't have to talk about it ever again.
Got to get off to a early good start, even if it's 1-1 after the first. Got to have a good start. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, Sabres pregame coming up at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. But for more on hockey, stay tuned as coming up after a quick timeout. Sabres Live, you're listening to WGR.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.